and we will convene the board, call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:47 on the clock. We will, everybody who can, we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann. Before we go into consent agenda, though, I just have a couple, I guess, more housekeeping things than anything. We do on our agenda at 9 o'clock, we have a Veterans Honor, which I just spoke about a little bit. We will abide by that time at 9 o'clock, or as close to as we can, we will have the Veterans Honor program here. At 9:15, we have on the agenda close, accept, reject, or award bids for a culvert project. Because that has also been advertised, and that is a timed event, we do need to, we will take time out of public comment or where we're at on the agenda and follow that. The one last thing is at 9:30, it says we will have discussion and approve or disapprove the resolution for the permit. That is as close to that as we will come, because we have everything else on the agenda, because we may have, don't know what public comment will be, that may be delayed just a little bit. We will not start that before 9:30, though. We will be following our agenda otherwise. And next up on the agenda is our consent agenda. So one is the general agenda. There are some copies over there. People would like an agenda copy, too, on that table there in front of Galen and in the press. Number two, approve minutes of meeting held June 8th, 2016. Approve all claims through June 22nd, 2016, in the amount of $1,423,903.35, except for claim number 160601 to Beatrice Lawn Care, in the amount of $851.25, to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 160502.63. To Collection Associates in the amount of $152.87. Approve and place on file Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue Annual Report. Approve civil case Billy O'Keefe versus defendants, including Gage County, Nebraska, referring it to NIRMA and place on file. Approve permit number 1051 Norse Public Power District. We'll be boring a 7.2 KU electric line under the county road for 66 feet, 5 feet below bottom of road ditch to provide service to a new residence in the northwest fourth of section 24-T-5N-R-6E and northwest fourth of section 19-T-5N-R-7E of Holt Township. Approved declaring 1984 three-quarter ton 4x4 pickup. Serial number F26GPHDO186, 1986. GMC half ton pickup, serial number 1GTDC14N5GJ528495. And then a 1986 GMC half ton pickup. Serial number 1GTDC14N7GF702957 and a 1997 Ford F450 chassis slash cab. Serial number 3FELF47G3VMA41577 as surplus and calling for bids for those four vehicles. Bids to be opened on July 20th, 2016 at 9:15 a.m. And I know we'll have some comments on, I guess, the amount of the claims that we'll be making those during a finance committee report instead of now or whatever. So any other comments or questions on consent agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Next up, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
We got Eric's claim.
Oh, got one other thing first.
We can skip it.
Yeah, we can.
We can skip it. Teaming don't need paid. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 160-60127 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $851.25. Total of claims approved then will be $1,424,754.60.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann, seconded by Hill to approve. And this is a company that Eric owns. Vote. 5 in favor with Byers absent, Thiemann abstaining. Next up, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This is the time. A couple of things, and Roger will probably comment a little bit too. We did have the public hearing, public meeting on the 13th. So this is not a public hearing. This is comments from the public. You can comment on anything. However, if you commented on the chicken permit at the public hearing, and Roger, help me if I'm explaining this right, that was your comments, or that was your comment part of that, okay?
That will be considered by the board. If they comment today on any, yep, bring anything to the board, it's not part of the hearing, and it can't be part of the evidence,
right,
that the board considers. So,
and that includes anybody that talks today, because this is not a public hearing. If you comment on something and you wanted to bring different information forward, that the board cannot consider when we do our determination or evaluation of why or why not we would approve that permit. That was what the public hearings are for. This is public comment. You can still comment, but we cannot, this board cannot ask you questions if you comment. This board, things that...
Correct. There can't be an interchange on that. And I would just tell people, if you want to basically reiterate your position for or against the proposed special use permit, if you're already on record, which the clerk does have that from the June 13th and has made notation of that, you're probably not adding a lot to your comments. What you've already said is going to be taken into consideration by the board. So just so everybody understands, when we consider some other regulations, sometimes it's like if you don't get up two or three times and voice your opinion one way or another, you didn't think you were being heard. And that's a misunderstanding. That's not true. So if you've appeared and you made comments, those comments have been taken by the board and will be considered.
They do have however, have the right to speak, but it may not add a lot to the...
Yes.
It really won't add to the...
You do have the right to speak, and you do have the right to make comments. Just be aware of the fact that those comments, this board, because of the public hearing and the way the structure is set, this board will not be taking those comments necessarily into effect when we make our determination. I have it right here. There's a clock in front of me if you're wondering where the clock's at or whatever. So we have 8:55 on the clock, and at 9 o'clock we will be... stopping the public comments so that we can have our veterans honor program and stuff. I did have some sign in, and we'll go by this sheet first, and then we'll ask if there are any more. So Jennifer Oberg, we are limiting these to a maximum of 5 minutes. We'd appreciate it even if you'd keep it shorter than that. Okay. Go ahead.
I guess I didn't realize that none of this was going to be taken into consideration. But I do, I guess, for what it's worth, a couple of us talked to a guy by the name of Blake Onkin, and he's the supervisor in ag section with DEQ. He's completely unaware of the site change. He had no idea that this location has been moved. What we were told is the paperwork or what they signed off for was for the first location. What concerns us is if they don't know nothing about the second location. The second location, there's a draw right there that feeds directly into Mr. Adkins and Mr. Hartwig's ponds. So if they're not aware of that, I think that's something that concerns us a lot. I just want to reiterate, too, this is a commercial operation. It's not your typical farm. It's trying to get squeezed into an area that is too heavily populated. There's too many cons. I mean, the possible health effects it's going to cause, obviously now especially the water quality issues, road upkeep, the loss of our property value. And I just want to reiterate that we already have one chicken farm going in south of town. So if this one goes through too, then they're going to start popping up everywhere. And Northern Gage County is just, that's your growth right there with your nice acreages. And people take pride in that and they want to be in a good school district. I know for my own, you know, I wouldn't, if I was considering putting an acreage up that's going to be bringing in good tax revenue for the county, I wouldn't want to be in an area where I'm boxed in by commercial chicken, you know, facilities. I wanted to have the lady that I mentioned the last meeting, I wanted to have her come here and talk about the health effects for her family living so close to that, because she is a half a mile east of one, or several of them. She couldn't make it today, but I had her name and her phone number, because she really wanted you guys, if you had questions, to call her, but if that's fine. I do have that if you need it. But yeah, I just, you know, want to reiterate that the neighbors and I, you know, don't want to feel a threat of possibly having to move because of something that's going to do that much destruction and only bring in 1.5 jobs to the county. I think the county needs to look at that, where they're going to have a lot of expense keeping up with the roads as well. And what is that? What's 1.5 jobs when it's going to, you know, do that much destruction and you have that many people? The community has spoken. The town has spoken. The board of Cortland has spoken. They unanimously voted that it is not something good that's going to benefit our county, or Northern Gage County. But that's all I have to say.
Thank you. I have it 8:59 on the clock. Gus, are you going out in the hall? If you could tell, at 9 o'clock, we have a timed event, so appreciate if they could come in.
They probably do need a couple of rooms.
They probably will need some. Yeah, I hate
but
to.
As many of you that can stay, and
yeah,
they'll
but
appreciate
otherwise
you being here.
Definitely slide to the end walls or whatever, so that we
or
can
just stand for a couple minutes.
Normally, we'll have Phil will explain this a little bit. Normally, we have one person we honor, and today, because of some unique situations here, we do have quite a few more. So. Okay.
Stand up.
Come on in. Find a seat the best you can, or however it works, and welcome. And as soon as everybody, wow, I thought 12, but there's definitely more than 12. Just make sure everybody gets in and. Go ahead, Phil.
Good morning. Today is going to be a little bit different. Normally, we honor one veteran a month at the county board meeting. This month, earlier this month on June 6th, D-Day, we had 14 people from Gage County, Vietnam combat veterans, go to Washington, D.C. on the honor flight, put on by Patriotic Productions and Bill Williams. And right now we have, I think, 12 guys here that were on that flight. And instead of acknowledging each one of them, I'd like to have them come up and give their name and when they served in Vietnam. But all these guys are combat veterans. By far, it's not all of the combat veterans we have in Gage County. These are the ones that were selected to go and got to go. And I know even on behalf of these guys, they would like to honor this of all the Vietnam veterans, especially the 53,000 plus that never did return. But at this time.
Phil, I'll just make a quick comment. A little bit of familiar with it because some of them are up at Adams and stuff. This is a there were way more than the 500 which the two planes could hold applied to go.
Absolutely.
And there was a process whereby the Legion or whoever determined how they would end up going, and these were the ones that were part of the ones that were selected.
Part of the ones that were selected, yes. And it's a great thing. It started with the World War II Memorial, you know, honor flights they did then, and this time they had three planes they took. That's why you'll see the gentleman with the three different colored shirts. There was a red team, a white team, and a blue team. And Bill Williams organizes this thing. I mean, he's got everything down to a T. And just talking to these guys today, sounds like he fulfilled his, you know, his duty to them. But
go ahead.
Please, each one of you guys come up, give your name, and tell when you served, and a little bit of what do you want to say.
Don Junker, I served over in Vietnam in 1966 and 67. I was in the artillery, and I'm glad I got to come home. Thank you.
I'm Ron Kapuska, and I served in Vietnam from 1967 to 1968. I was in the Marine Corps with an artillery unit, and this honor flight, like Phil said, it wasn't about us. It was about the 58,000 that didn't come home.
Lee Warner, originally from Franklin, Nebraska, served in Vietnam all of 68, got there just in time for Tet Offensive. This was a fabulous, fabulous trip that we took. My only question was if maybe they waited till we were a little too old to do it. We covered a lot of ground in one day.
My name is Dick Trapp. I'm from Cortland, Nebraska, originally from the Geneva area. I served in Vietnam in 65 and 66 in a panel bridge outfit, and this trip was actually fantabulous. It was the longest day, I'm sure. So, but I'm glad to be home. It was really a welcoming home at the airport when we come back with 4,500 to 5,000 people shaking our hands, and everybody from 2 weeks old to VFW and Legion members and stuff, and it was really fantabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Wally Borger. I'm from Biafra, so I served in Vietnam from 69 to 70 in a CAV unit. And that trip to Washington was fantastic. Seeing the wall really brought back tears. Thank you.
I'm Sherman Scala, and listened to these other gentlemen tell how long they were there. I wasn't there very long. I was there from first part of September till middle of October in 1968. And it's good to see now that the public is so considerate of all veterans.
I'm Leon Hagen from Beatrice, Nebraska. I served with the 3rd of the 5th Cav in Vietnam in January 67 to January 68. As a helicopter scout and a door gunner. And I want to thank everybody for their help in doing all of this. Thank you.
I'm Oliver Lomax. I served in 66 and 67, combat engineer outfit. And just like everybody else, it was tremendous. When we got there, there's over 500 people that greeted us that had no idea who we were. So, and we got home, 4,500 people, and it's just great.
John Ray from Beatrice. I served in 1967 and 1968 with a assault helicopter company as a medic. the trip was just super. I can't tell you, this was great. Thank you.
Jim Young, I'm from Adams, 1971. Thanks for the trip, United States Marines.
Don Riemann, I'm from Virginia. I served with the 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, Lima Company. I was there from 66 to 67. It was a fabulous trip and gave me a chance to finally say goodbye to a bunch of heroes that I served with at the wall and who were killed in action over there. I really appreciate it.
Paul Nyland from Adams, served in 1968 to 69 Cameron Bay. Just appreciate you guys inviting us today and all the support we've had from all the sponsors. One of the airplanes cost $60,000 to charter, and there were three of them. People did that on their own. They paid $60,000 for one plane, plus all the support we had there, and it was a great experience. Thank you.
Is there anybody else, Phil? That was maybe everybody.
I think we got all of them. Just a few little things here. On behalf of all these gentlemen, I'm sure they would, they're appreciative of everything that that the board has done as far as recognizing these veterans. And again, we'd like to recognize all the veterans in Gage County, that served in Vietnam. And of course, those that didn't return. Some of these guys, most of them here, or a lot of them here, received Purple Hearts. I know Sherm says, "Oh, I was only there a short time." Well, there was a reason for that. He didn't have any choice in it, so he got injured and came home, after he was there just a short amount of time. But again, I'd just like to thank everyone and thank all the guys, and thank you and welcome home.
Well, and the board would just like to thank all of you and all the veterans. That's part of Matt Bauman came up with this plan originally, or this idea, to start honoring the veterans here in the county. And it's been one of the most well-received and supported programs that we have or whatever. We thank you guys for your service, your time. We thank all the veterans in the county. Unfortunately, some of them, somebody made a comment about age, and some of them, we need to honor, or they won't be around forever and stuff. So, but we're just so thankful for what you've done. Matt, would you like to make a comment?
Just, it's always an honor to meet those who have served our country, and it's always a humbling factor to see how outranked you are when you're in a room full of veterans. So, thank you for your service.
Appreciate you very much taking time out of all your schedules to come to this. As you see, we have a good crowd today. That's partly for you guys, but for some other reasons too. So we appreciate everybody having the opportunity to be a part of this. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Myron. The one thing I'd like to add is that, this group of guys is a good group of guys, and it's awesome they were able to do this. But I also know some of them personally, and I know that they continue to serve and give of themselves, especially Don and Leon. I know both of them personally and appreciate everything you guys have done.
Appreciate everything. Thank you very much. Some more.
All right.
We have a few minutes before our 9:15 timed event, so we will. Next up on the sheet I have is Bonnie Busboom, if you'd like to make some comments.
Good morning. It's a hard act to follow when you see all those fellows in here and all they've done for our country. When we talk about serving, it made me think about you guys. You guys are elected to serve the public and to serve our county. And all I wanted to say, we've said it all, we've heard it all, but I wanted to say that there are a lot of things to consider. I don't know that anybody has experience living next to 150,000 chickens. I don't care what happens with the manure. It's not magic. It's going to be somewhere, if not for sure, blowing out of giant fans at the top of a hill 2 miles from a town. We've asked you to serve us. The people that you serve have spoken. Like Jen said, 225 people signed a petition. We've been to countless meetings here and spoke in front of your organization. We've sent you emails. We've sent you letters. We personally have tried not to bother you personally, except for Myron, because he does represent our area, so we didn't take time to call each of you out of respect to you, not because this isn't a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge worry in our whole family, and I just ask you to think about all those things. Myron, you represent our area. I ask you to help everybody to understand the people in the area and their feelings, and not for personal gain. We've been there. We live there. We coexist. It's been wonderful. It's actually been wonderful to get to know those of the neighbors that maybe we didn't know, because we have got to know them. We've been at several meetings. We've talked and we visited, and it's been great. But interrupting this and changing everyone's lives, their property values, people are going to have to move. It's a scary thing, and it's an upsetting thing, frankly. So I ask you to take the time, out of respect for us, as we respect you, that you serve us, to give it close consideration and maybe think there could be a better spot for this than at the top of a hill 2 miles east of Cortland with fans blowing stuff everywhere. So thanks very much.
I have 9:14 on the clock, and we have time to vet at 9:15. So we'll wait just a minute so that just in case we have a bid coming in here right at the end, we will hold off on the public hearing, public comment period again until we do our timed event. So we have to wait till the clock turns to 9:15, and then we will have motions. Galen's here for that. Good.
See what his name was, Director Galen.
Yeah. Unless we don't have any bids, then we don't have to worry about it, I guess. So. We have some bids, right?
Myron, and it stopped.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't have.
Oh, I have any more?
Mail,
okay. So. I heard Don calling to see if we had any more.
And we got projects. We better have bids.
I know.
Yeah, I always like to check the mail to make sure they got the mail across. You know.
I have 9:15 on the clock. This is a timed event, so I will entertain a motion to close bids.
So move.
Second. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle, to close bids on project, culvert project number C-34-1077. Vote 6-0 in favor.
I should have got a hit on
it. We do need to act on these because this is a timed event and part of that. We set the time up for the other stuff. I guess we didn't quite figure on all the rest of this, so everybody gets to be part of that. So, normally there are some individuals here from some of those companies. That's why also we have to do that now, so that they were here planning on this time.
Okay, Myron, the first bit. Is for project C. These are, by the way, all on the one-year plan. Are for project C-34-1077, twin 96-inch by 47-foot metal pipes. Total for this project, 27,000. This is from Midwest Sales and Midwest Service and Sales Company. Total for this project, 27,769.36. The second project. C-34-1079, twin 108-inch by 48-inch pipes. Total for this project, C-34-1079 is $28,925.12.
Those are separate bids or just together?
These bids, and I'll just give the project number on each one of them.
Who's this from?
Okay. This is from Contact Engineered Solutions, LLC.
Did you figure it?
First project, C-34-1077, for a total of $28,085. Second project, C-34-1079, a total of $33,200.
Terry, you want to repeat both of those?
Yep. First one, project C-34-1077, $28,085.00. Second, C-34-1079, total $33,200 even. Certificate and everything, performance bond. Is that the last one? Third, and I believe final. Is from Ace Eaton Metals. Total for project C-34-1077, $28,203.80. Total for project C-34-1079, $30,189.60. Myron, as we have done in the past, I would like to...
I think there was two in a big envelope and two in a smaller envelope.
The one big envelope just had documents.
Okay.
That was just a performance bond in that big envelope, I believe.
Okay.
Go through it again, John.
See nothing. Nope.
Is that correct?
Yep.
As we've done in the past, I'd like to turn these over to the Galen in the superintendent's office and have him review those. And by the end of the meeting or whenever it works for Galen, come up with a recommendation for the rewarding the bid.
Do we need that as a motion?
Where's Galen? Oh, there he is.
We need that as a motion?
Well, not necessarily if you're going to do it now. He don't need a motion, does he? Refer that to him.
For the record, just refer to Galen.
I'll make that a motion.
Yeah, I'll make that a motion.
Secretary's motion.
Yes. Motion by Jorgens, second by Lytle. Vote 6-0 to refer that to Galen, and then hopefully before the end of the meeting we'll come back and make a decision on those. We will continue on with the public comment. It's 9:21. I have it on the clock. Next up, I have on the list Carol Hartwig.
As you know, I'm not a public speaker, so I usually have to read this. I still don't know if there's a definite plan for getting rid of the dead chickens and a plan for getting rid of all the manure. Is it going to be stored inside or outside or spread immediately? Or now he says he'll just sell it. I don't think you can improve this issue until a definite plan is in place. I should think it would have to be in a definite written or drawn up plan. I would also like to add that after the threat that he issued at the last meeting that we should be careful what we wish for, or he could just make it into a land development. I would much prefer that plan. As to 6 to 10 chicken confinements going up, at least there wouldn't be the smell or the worry about the runoff or the health of the community on our minds. There's an article that appeared in the Lincoln Journal-Star on 6/13/16 talking about a much smaller amount of chickens, but still applies to this issue. It says all chickens carry salmonella bacteria. It can be in their droppings or in their bodies, including feathers, beaks, and feet. This was released by the CDC. I know it's talking about backyard chickens, but this is our backyard.
Thank you. Maxine Hartwig? Going to pass? Okay. David Atmos?
Atkins.
Oh, sorry. You'll pass too. Okay. Dave Whiting?
Last time we had the opportunity to speak, some of the people had the understanding, and it appeared to us that a building to house this litter is a suitable substitute. It is not. Okay? To the community, we don't feel this way. Also, we understand agriculture, production of food. We understand that. We also understand definition of farming. This is not farming. Okay, this is MBA, okay, looking for a rental property, and the tenants are 150,000 chickens. Okay, I felt bad for Mrs. Mulder. They shouldn't carry the brunt of this. We know there are other investors in this. It's unfortunate they don't step up. And we know. And we've investigated that. So this is MBA. Okay, looking for a rental property, and the tenants are 150,000 chickens. Now, after being a sheriff and a deputy for many years, working for the health department, I know the complaints. We talked about the DEQ not getting complaints. They don't get complaints. The health department does, and the sheriff's office does, and other people. When you go to Plymouth, okay, they sometimes they don't even call because they just know it's the big business is going to win out. Okay? Since we spoke last, the village of Hallam has okayed carbon black plant right outside a Nebraska public power plant. More people going to come work there. We'd sure like to have these people in this industry live south of the border because we provide a better, more common sense plan of building than our neighbors to the north. I can share that in the event this would go through, that list of people that are against this, we don't say it as a threat, but we know what it's going to do to our land evaluations because people are going to know what it does. We're going to be known as the chicken area. Now, I understand this is a definite industry. If anybody's ever been to Arkansas, went to senior leadership training in Arkansas, and I realize that this is MBA and it's not Tyson, okay, I can tell you that the industry, when it gets a strong foothold, is very spread out, and it's an ugly thing. Look up some of the things in Arkansas, all right? I'll be brief here. We don't want to talk about what we already talked about.
Dave, 1 minute.
All right, okay. There's a reason these don't go in Lincoln, Lancaster County. There's a reason they don't build them in Saunders County. There's a reason they don't build them in Cass County this big. Let's make a reason they don't build them in Gage County this big, okay? Because we honestly believe you wouldn't build this 2 miles east of Lincoln, you wouldn't build it 2 miles east of Beatrice, and you wouldn't build it 2 miles east of the golf course out here that I like to swing clubs on too. This is a bad idea, the wrong place, the wrong time. Thank you.
Dave Dorn.
I guess I just wanted to say that the negative effects that are going to
affect the people in this community are going to last for years and years and years. This is more than just a couple meetings. We'll have to live, everybody will have to live with the negative parts of this for a long, long time. So it's got to be a big decision to think about that, how long people will be affected by it. So thank you.
Walker Zelitsky.
I'm Walker Zolkowski. I'm the executive director of Engage here in Beatrice, Engage County. I currently live in Lincoln, but I'm actually still relocating to Cortland, building a house there. Want to briefly overview what Engage is. We're a countywide economic development group, and we strive to encourage investment and stimulate jobs in Engage County. Our target industries are manufacturing, logistics, healthcare, and agriculture. And as a livestock-friendly county, which is what Gage County is, it's a voluntary program. We recognize counties that actively support the livestock industry. As a livestock-friendly county, engage in us. We support this proposed poultry project near Cortland. I think it brings investment to our county and shows other potential businesses that Gage County actually is open for business.
That's all I have that signed in. Is anybody else like to make any public comment? Go ahead.
Do I need to sign in or anything?
No, you just need to come up to the mic because this is all recorded or whatever.
She needs to give her name because we don't
have it. Oh, give us your name so that we do have that for the record.
My name is Emily Skillett, and I'm with AFAM, which is the Alliance for the Future of Agriculture in Nebraska. I'd just like to make a few notes, and I know this is not going to be on the record, so I just want to mention it. Manure is always going to be a hot topic when you're merging your urban and your agricultural community. It's always going to be hard. What I'd like to mention about manure, though, is that the fact that it's an organic fertilizer, it reduces the need for commercial fertilizer, which only targets the specific nutrient needs of the crops, versus the organic fertilizer, which will then, of course, is better quality for the soil as a whole. You're adding organic fertilizer into an organic material. On second point, we want to make sure that everyone realizes that farmers are utilizing the newest technologies available to the industry, whether it's deep pits or if it's utilizing manure nutrient plans for chicken litter. They're using the highest and best quality of technology that they can find, as well as the fact that these farmers live in this area as well. They're not going to try and pollute the waters. They're not going to try and pollute their own ground when they want their own generations to come back to the farm, their kids, their grandkids, their nieces, their nephews. My dad once told me that in order to expand or to grow as a farm operation, you have to either buy ground, which is at the expense of losing another farmer, another family in the area, or you can find a way to utilize that ground in the best possible way. And that can most of the time be in livestock. Livestock adds a great amount of tax base to your community. Whatever his taxes may be that he's going to be paying on this building are a large amount that are going to be supporting your local roads, your local communities, your local schools. And I just want to make note of that real quick. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Okay, come on up.
Linda Ramsey. Everybody's spoken. All the neighbors have spoken. There's been so many people against this. I hope you guys are listening. And the organic manure, that's where the salmonella is. That's all I have to say. Not chemical, organic. Thanks.
Anyone else? Would they like to speak at public comment? If not, we will end that part of the meeting. And at 9:30, we have a time agenda. It is 9:31 on the clock to discuss and approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit number 2016-2 for placement of poultry barns located in the west, one half of the southwest, one fourth of Section 8, Nemaha Township. Before we really start discussion, I just want to make one quick comment, I guess. I did make this comment after the public hearing. We are setting this time for discussion and maybe approval or disapproval. Just so everybody fully understands, through our discussion or through whatever, we don't necessarily have to vote on this today or make a decision. I just don't want people to be upset if we don't or whatever. We have had approximately 2 weeks or 10 days to do what I call some of our due diligence and go out and try and get a handle on some of the comments that were made at the public hearing and other things. So before we start the discussion, I just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. I've gotten some feedback that you guys will make a decision. No, we will try to make a decision today, but if we don't, I want people to understand that. I believe that this board needs to make this decision they feel comfortable with and make what they feel is the best decision. If that takes another 2 weeks or another 4 weeks, I am more than fine with that, and I hope everybody else is too. So.
Resolution 16-10, if we move forward.
Resolution 16-10. And I guess we did this with the wind farm. We had discussion before we had a motion. I'm more than comfortable with that. I know I've visited back and forth with some of the people on our board. Matt and I did go yesterday up with Roy up to six chicken barns right up by Waverly. So we got to see that facility. Roy invited any member from the board. He also did invite Andy Carruthers. And Andy was going to contact the city council up there at Cortland to see if they wanted to go along, but they did not either. Just Matt and I went along up there, so they went up and showed us those barns. But anybody?
I guess, what did you see up there? Out of my curiosity, I didn't go. If you could kind of walk us through that.
Yep. When I went up there, secondary to the public hearing we had, I was very concerned about flies, dust, smell, carcass, location from the roads. What I didn't see, and this is a six barn unit, almost identical to how what Mr. Mulder's proposing to put up straight south, mile and a half south of Waverly. Very nice homes all the way around, just like we have up there. I did not see a lot of flies. I have more flies on my front porch. I'm not trying to be coy. I'll be straight with you what I saw. We stood right outside several exhaust fans on the north side of the building for 15 to 20 minutes right next to a manure and a carcass pile. I have asthma. I have allergies. 15 to 20 minutes. There were not plumes of dust. I literally was from here to the wall away from an exhaust fan. It was not abusive in sound, smell. There was no dust. There were no feathers. The manure pile was maybe half the size of this room and maybe just as tall. And right next to that, there was an external compost pile that had carcasses in it covered with compost. We sat there for 15 to 20 minutes. There was not a huge ammonia smell. I was really expecting to get the real re-wetting of the litter based on the rain they had had just recently up there. It just wasn't there. The ammonia smell was not there. I went there, I have to say, Mr. Mulder, trying to be objective, but I was there to try and find a reason to vote against this. The flies weren't there. The dust wasn't there. The smell wasn't there. All of the birds were inside. The houses were all full. Yeah, even the way that the houses sit on the horizon, it wasn't like it obscured the horizon either aesthetically from a half a mile away. They have, I think, I counted, keep going back to Google Map, I'm not checking my email, but Google Map, and I think I counted 14 homes within a half a mile, I believe. Yeah, I live on an acreage southwest of Beatrice here. I would live within a quarter mile of six of these. And I say that because, to be absolutely honest, stepping foot, standing right next to the barns, these are modern agricultural processes. These aren't the old hog sheds of the day. These aren't free range out underneath a net. I was surprised. I was quite frankly surprised that it was as professional. And they had been operating, I believe, for 6 months.
The first birds went in November in two of the barns. Those two barns are on their third set of birds. They have cleaned that barn out, half of that barn they've cleaned out, and that's what was in the manure pile or whatever. So that's the only part that they've cleaned out yet. They have not gone through more of those barns.
in that section, the South Road, the Alvo Road, we met there at 148th and Alvo Road, I would contend you will have 100-fold, maybe 1,000-fold more dust coming off of that rock road than you will these operations. I don't know if the gentleman, the farmer and his son that are up there running that would allow people to go on. They spray disinfect on the vehicles. You have to put boots on. They're monitoring in and out, modern farming. But I would invite anybody to go up there. It's not my property, but I was glad I went because I absolutely went there thinking we have to do some way to get this manure inside. How are you going to deal with these carcasses, the dust? And Myron was right there with me the whole time. Right outside those exhaust vents, I said, let's go stand in front of these as they turned on and off. We drove half a mile away to a residence that was in absolute line of sight. You could not hear these fans, and it was an east wind yesterday, and this place was northeast or northwest of the facility. So the wind would have been coming right in our direction. I just didn't see what I was hoping to see to be able to vote against it. I just didn't see it. I didn't smell it. I didn't hear it.
Were there any people at that house, or did you get a chance to talk?
We didn't try to stop and visit with anybody. We pulled in the driveway. This was after we met there for an hour. We met there for a little over an hour. We pulled in the driveway, which the noise and the smell should have, by the wind movement, should have carried it to that direction. Part of the reasons, though, Matt's not mentioning we couldn't hear the fans was that was on 148th, which is the paved road going into Waverly from the south. There was too much traffic going by there. The noise from the traffic morphed most of the chance you had to hear. The noise from the traffic was a lot greater concern for me than the noise from the fans. We did stand, as Matt said, we stood directly north of the barns for a good 15 minutes asking questions. I am getting hard of hearing. We could carry a normal conversation on, and there were at least two fans kicking on and off out of those 12 all the time.
Are these going to be real similar when you were up there? Are these going to be similar construction to what the proposed barns are?
Well, there'll be newer construction. These are older, but that was a question we asked. From a size and the capacity standpoint, it's almost identical. And I say almost to leave the door open because it's not going to be identical, but it's almost identical. The concern I had, I did ask the gentleman that was there. Was it Bill? Was he the farmer that there was a waterway or a slough just north of that was maybe 200 feet from the barn? And I asked him. I said, "What about runoff with the DEQ?" And DEQ had cleared that. So and there was a pretty steep slope that went down to there. I will concur with the volume of names that are on the signatures and the folks that are showing up here to voice their concern and being a representative form of government. I heard you loud and clear, so I went up there firsthand to see that, expecting to find something that I could corroborate what I've been told. I just didn't see it. I have four children too. I would live within a quarter mile of these. The way that they're maintained now, because it's I just didn't see what I was hoping to see. And what I would say is, if you have an effort to go to one of similar size, I know there's some that are a lot bigger the footprint may be different. They've estimated 20, 25 acres that sat on, something like that. I just didn't see what I was hoping to see. And with respect to Mr. Mulder, I was kind of going there to find something to vote no and to be support. I just didn't see it. I didn't smell it, and I didn't hear it.
Well, we did.
I was impressed with the facility. I'll say that.
I will make that same comment. I was impressed with the facility. I was like Matt. Last Thursday, I had the opportunity to go drive around the facilities over at Tecumseh. I know a lot of people mentioned the fact that they'd been over there also. Last Thursday, unfortunately, there wasn't a wind. It was Thursday morning. It was calm. The thing that I noticed, I didn't get a chance to visit with anybody over there, but the thing I noticed, the ones on the east side of the highway, that's all a rock and gravel road around there. And like I said, the wind was calm. When I drove on that road, the dust from that road, it just kind of hung and stayed up there in the air. As you looked in your mirror, and I'm not like Matt, I'm not trying to be coy or anything. To me, the fact that these are on a gravel rock road, there, I have concerns yet about the dust and the volume of traffic that would add to it. That is particularly why I did ask the question up there, and Matt and I both did, how much more truck traffic will this facility create?
The young man up there told us that those six barns, and they're all full, different stages of birds, so that's normally how you'd be. It takes approximately one truck a day of feed. Then we talked about the birds in and the birds out. They take two barns out. Two barns come in at the same time. One truck fills the two barns. Going out, they do it two nights in a row, and it's five trucks each time they empty the barn. So you have 10 trucks on those two nights. Those birds are in there for 53, 54 days. So every 53, 54 days, you will have those five trucks coming one night and the next night or whatever. The other thing, and they didn't have a good handle on because they had not had enough manure yet to haul, we asked them about the manure. Roy spoke here at the one public hearing a little bit about the amount of manure. We did the best we could of estimating when you're taking manure out what that's going to amount to or whatever. Somewhere around 6 to 8 loads every time you would clean out a barn. And Roy, you tell me if I'm wrong on those numbers, but that's semi-loads again. So some of those things are what I guess I think this board needs to do is look at and do the due diligence. We need to make sure if we're uncomfortable with it, great. If we're fine with it, great. But we also need to I felt we needed to make sure some of us go and look at those facilities so that we have a little bit better handle on those. The gentleman did talk several times about they have three different companies, one out of Iowa, one about the Humane Animal Treatment. There's three different, not companies, organizations, because these are organic.
There's a certification that's provided based on the way that they treat the animals.
They have to be certified. One of those organizations can come in at any time during any two-week period and inspect them and make sure that they do pass those qualifications. Now, I don't have a list of those qualifications or what they needed to do to be that. We didn't get that or whatever.
Where the manure litter was, there was a compost pile there where the carcasses were, and I asked about the mortality rate. They said about 7%. So you figure if there's 120-some thousand birds, probably around 9,000, but that's not any one given time.
That's every 5 weeks. Or every 6 weeks.
That's every
whatever their cycle was.
I didn't ask what the rate was. I'm just saying they have what the frequency of that death rate is.
Right.
Yep. The concern, one that I think that as a board we need to look down at the chairman of Road and Bridge is the traffic and is the road. And I think that's a viable, with the additional truck traffic there. I really kind of went there kind of with a tainted opinion based on what I'd heard, expecting to see things that just weren't there. And now, granted, it's not in my neighborhood, so I'm sensitive to that. But, Cortland being 2.5 miles away, it's a non-issue for Cortland. This is a mile and a half away, really, rather than a prevailing wind in the summertime. You would think that they would be up in arms. I believe the gentleman said that he actually had a letter of support from Mayor Waverly, and this gentleman has two or three chicken houses within a mile, or their turkey houses, just north of Waverly. So I think it's the modern practices and the due diligence that's being done to help prevent some of this. But
One other thing we did ask, too, and we had discussion on because the farmer up there talked about the Waverly. We asked about the planning process and so on for that, to go through that. He said that was, as here, that was a very difficult job that took time, that took a lot of meetings with their planning board. In Lancaster County, their planning board makes the determination and, I'll call it, the qualifications on the permit. If somebody protests that, then it goes to their county board, that same as they did with their wind farm regulations. If nobody protests that, which he said nobody did, then the planning board has the final say up in Lancaster County, and they okay this permit.
Nobody protested the barns there?
After their public hearing, their planning board had to have a public hearing, just like we did, and then they made the decision to approve the permit. In Lancaster County, then, if somebody protests that decision, that goes to the county board. If nobody protests that decision, then their planning board is the final decision in Lancaster County. So that's a little bit different than ours. But we did talk at length, too, about that permit, the permitting process, and what that all involved, and some of the things he had to go through up there, because I guess we've talked about our zoning regulations here. Are our zoning regulations adequate for the needs of the county? And some of those we'll talk about after this project is done or whatever. The board, and I visited with Lisa three or four times since our last public hearing about our zoning regulations and maybe what we have. Anybody else with questions or comments? I guess that's what we're looking for.
Are these proposed barns? You said these are those organic or whatever. I know they treat, I know these are semi-free range or whatever they call them. Are these barns going to be similar to that, where the same organizations can come in and look at them? And so that's
my understanding. Yes. Mr. Mulder would have to ask that, but that's my understanding.
Those were Smart. The individual from Smart Chicken, and it was Mr. Smith was there.
Dave Smith.
Dave Smith was there, and he explained to be part of Smart Chicken's organic program. Those three organizations had most of the oversight in some of these details or whatever, and they had to be. Those facilities had to be approved by those three organizations also.
I will state that if this passes, and it does, the onus of maintaining and operating that appropriately is on the producer. It's not on us. It's and I can't speak for the producer that had the facility there south of Waverly. All I can speak to is the facilities were clean. There weren't gobs of dust. I stood right in front of a fan that was exhausting a full barn of birds. I stood right next to a manure pile and a carcass pile, and I was right next to it, 15 to 20 feet away, and distance does a lot. And all I'm saying is what I saw was contrary to what I actually had expected.
Yeah. And these barns are probably still in ideal shape and condition and an ideal operator.
I was going to bring that up, John, because these barns, the first birds went in the first barn in November and stuff. So, yeah, these are very new barns, and that's, you bring up a good point. What are they going to be like in 5, 10, 15 years?
Because that's not my experience with other barns that have been operated in the same manner under the same technique.
Yeah. And I don't know the ones over Tecumseh. I don't know the age of those or whatever, or how long those have been there or whatever. I don't know that. My memory's not that good, I guess, or whatever. But I know over there, as we heard comments in the public meeting, there was real concerns with the odor over there, some of the people they'd visit with. That was probably the biggest concern over there that I took as feedback from that public hearing. Terry?
I guess, as of right now, my position is I put myself in these people's houses, I guess. And although the zoning regulations fit to do this, I don't think it fits the area. So, short and sweet, that's what I feel right now.
Lisa and I wanted her here just as if somebody had questions about any of our zoning. One thing I did not know, and at the public hearing, I think I spoke that because of population density in that area, that we may need to, zoning board, the county board may need to look at, it's been 15, 16 years since our zoning regulations came into effect. Is that something we need to look at? Lisa explained to me, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about currently Apple Road or any paved road in the county, 1 mile on either side, has a different designation than farther out. And Lisa was going to, I wanted her to talk a little bit about, we call it Ag 1, Ag 2, and stuff like that.
So when we looked at the overall Gage County, we looked at the districts and the land use. So we did take those predominant Highway 77, Blacktop roads, and so forth. And so we utilized A1, for instance, as primarily agricultural use. A2 would be transitional agriculture, which, you know, was normally mapped out through the help of Hannah Keelan when they drove the county to know that agriculture is going to progress. You may have seed corn, different businesses that could be operated. So if we were going to look at changing and helping that northern district, perhaps in the future we could look at our land use map. Since that's a higher density issue, you know, and maybe look at better restrictions up in that area instead of, you know, making it different setbacks in one set of the county than it is the other, is to look at that. We also keep in mind, though, within our regulations, we have a density factor that fits into there, too. So in A1, for instance, when you look at 160 acres, only 4 homes are allowed within 160 acres. In A2, it's 5 homes. Now, that's new constructions, not specifically a lot of record that's already been into effect since we started zoning. And so it's up to Nancy, the zoning administrator, to, you know, when an application comes in, to research that and so forth. So that's how we addressed any density issue, and also in those A1, A2 with protecting agricultural entities, so that, you know, everyone knew that. And in fact, when we changed the minimum lot requirement from 10 acres to down to 3 acres back in 2007, we felt that the density issue would help us direct that and then be easier for people that wanted to bring an acreage in to not have to invest so much in land, too. Now, there's some special rules, I should say, or different things that if you're a family farm and you have a son or daughter that's coming back, you know, that's still treated as one entity. So, but.
John?
I guess at this time I look at this application still as incomplete. We don't have anything as far as the bird disposal, and I'd like at least 2 options on the bird disposal and the manure disposal to be acceptable to us, because they may need a fallback. The question that was raised about the DEQ, if they haven't been notified, I guess they should be. And I'm not sure if that's accurate or not, but at this time I think it's still incomplete.
And I did visit a little bit with Roger about our zoning. When a permit like this is applied for, this county board can make, whatever you call them, qualifications or whatever. We can make that part of the permit if we so choose to do that. I will say this. I have visited in the last 2 weeks probably 3 different times with Roy about the manure disposal, how that's going to happen. One time I visited with him about the chicken disposal. The last time I visited with him, I'll just say this. We as a board, we do not have something in place for this permit that specifically says that'll be in there. And part of what I visited with Roy about was, too, I said, I don't know what'll happen, but what if we, the other night at the public hearing, Roy made the comment that he will sell the manure. Him and I have visited about that several times, some issues that you have with that. But I said, Roy, just so maybe we understand a little bit better, I said, if this is the fact that that permit goes through and it says you will sell the manure, that means in 5 years or 10 years you're not going to get to come back and now I'm going to haul it on my own ground. No, then he would be out of compliance with our permit. And that's something we also have to, this board, me, we need to get a better handle too with our attorneys to make sure that, I guess that's the way it would happen, you know. And then maybe have an explanation of what if it's outside the permit, he's got the chicken barns up there for 7 years they've operated or whatever, and now he's not following the permit, then what happens? Then who's, I don't know, I don't have that answer. Then who's responsible for, Roy, you're outside of our permit?
If you want to comment, you sure can.
Well, your regulations do give you control on this situation. Some of the concerns, and I know Mr. Mulder indicated he was willing to contract that out, which I know that was raised by some of the folks, and we could certainly factor that in, right into the permit. That would not be a problem. Excuse me. If down the road he decides that he wants to do something different with it, again, it would be his burden to come before the board and show what he's offering, whether it's a farm down south or whatever, is not going to cause any problems. The one thing I'd say about the DEQ thing, and I don't really like to comment on something that was brought in on a public comment, but if he's got a problem with DEQ, we're the least of his concerns. So that's the thing I'll say. He'll be in front of DEQ soon enough to get his permit, and I'm sure he's most appreciative of that. The other thing I just tell you, and not to poke Terry a little bit, but you got 7 tests that you folks, I sent you copies of. That's what the issue before you is.
And
not emotion, not anything else. It's these 7 things.
2 of those we haven't probably proved one way or the other. That'll be detrimental to the neighbors or to lower their property value.
You can use your common sense, and I would also note to you, you have a precedent that you've approved within the last year, not very far from here, this location. The other thing, and again, I just throw this out to you, you've got a Planning and Zoning Commission that, again, our office works with them. They applied the rules. They went through some rather, I think, very good hearings, heard a lot of stuff, and I at least needs to be commended. That's tough. And they made a recommendation. And, again, we're similar to Lancaster as far as how we work. But in this situation, you look at their recommendation and make your own decision. I just point that out, that they looked at some of the same things, so you had those members also looking at the same, you know, factors that you people are wrestling with. And they are difficult. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that won't say, you know, you look at those 7 things, and this is what you're doing.
Yep.
You know, what if? And again, it was interesting for me. I've been to these places, you know, not in conjunction with this or anything else. If you haven't been, I think it's important. And there will always be some situations. I happen to be in one over in Iowa where I think John's concern was that it was after some period of time had gone by, and they got shut down.
Yeah.
And it was the company took the contract.
But in the meantime.
Well, but again, that was part of why they got shut down.
Yeah.
They were not adhering to the smell issue, and I don't know. I have no idea. I don't recall what the source of that was, but that's why the company was contacted. They took steps because most of the time, the person is contracting, they don't want that kind of publicity out there. And that's we're talking about the organizations go around and spot check them. That's why they have those people. It's like I have defense attorneys that spot check me. I don't like them, but they.
Yeah. And I guess I got to agree with Roger on, we got a great, very great P&Z committee and a great chair. And I have struggled with this, and what I think about this, if this was my own property, I wouldn't build it here. And I think I can say that for everybody else on this board. And the only reason I can find a vote for it is to not vote against P&Z.
And stop young windmills. On this, with the DEQ, this permit does show this piece of ground has been looked at and no permit is required. So, I mean, the DEQ stuff, I mean,
well,
everything appears to be looked at already.
It does give it for that quarter of ground. Now, whether it's the same location or not, I can't determine it from that.
It's for the quarter itself. If I'm reading this right, Lisa, it's for that quarter. It's not for a specific location anywhere.
Is that correct?
On that quarter.
Well, I personally did not talk to the inspector was Kevin Franzenbuehler's, and then his chief operating officer, who he answers to is not the same as what was brought here today. So,
and that's actually for more birds I see listed too.
They got another 10,000 birds. Yeah, because they were probably not growing organic at the time. So,
and I assume that's why I asked if it was the organic and the they keep, you know, squashing. I should say the opposite of that. They keep allowing more and more area per bird as they do this, and I'm sure part of that is because it is poultry with a dry litter manure.
One thing, if I could, in our discussion with the planning and zoning, when we addressed manure and how it was applied at certain times of the year, whether it was stockpiled or whether it was put on land as it became available, we looked at the dust issues on the road. And so our discussion with that was, instead of having it continuous, wouldn't it be better to have it, you know, let's say every 4 weeks, then instead of having so much every day, and then it would be less nuisance to the neighbors, you know, to continue that. And then a watering process maybe could be done on the road if there was a dust issue or something like that. But we, at that particular time, didn't address what could or should. We just asked Roy to address that in his manure management plan. So,
and I don't think the road issues are a real issue. It'll be some expense to the township, and there will be some things that need to be done, but the road itself, to me, is probably the non-issue of this.
Do we require any ag operations to water the roads or do dust control? I know in commercial operations, construction operation, if there's going to be something going on, you do require wetting the road. I remember in Burn, Kansas, when they were...
We have never on our discussion at all... obviously, if a complaint would come in, you know, either the county, the roads department would get a complaint, and then you would, you know, have to address with, you know, the applicant how to handle it.
And I don't know if since you've been on the board, since I've been on the board, we had the one hog operation not too far from Lisa over there, and that road was getting in such a condition that I don't remember if it came to the board, but we had discussion on the condition of that road, and basically it was determined that that's a township road, and that's the avenue that they had to... follow first, and then if not any results
in that particular case, that particular unit took, you know, is watering everything down to keep things, you know, down. But it's a personal stewardship thing that they chose to do. So to be a better manager and be a better neighbor.
Well, there's some of that with good neighbors. So, I mean, we know we've got that. That's the relationship where you always worry between the neighbors and the operators, too. I've got a dairy not far from me, and we have actual platted developments there. Well,
you don't really have a dairy next to you. You've got dairy cows, but they're not.
Well, you're right. I was thinking more. You're right. It's dairy cows down there. There's silage trucks. There's hay, not year round, but as they move stuff down the truck traffic. I guess we kind of adapt and watch for it, but they're pretty decent. I mean, I guess it's a give and take, them trying to look out, you know, with our kids running down the road and the trucks trying to get their products dropped off too.
And I'll make one quick comment then about the road again. There will be a dust issue, but I believe a lot of what part of when they had some of these public hearings was after the spring, we had a lot of rain, and there was a lot of comments about the condition of the road not being good enough even to travel on. So that, I mean, we are fully aware of that and stuff, and that we, the road will, I don't know if this will get approved or not, but if it does get approved, the road will still be an issue. That's not going away. So, Roger?
I just caution you, anytime, you may have the best person, the best intentions to take care of the dust or whatever, you're going to have third-party equipment out on your roads maintaining them.
That's the scary part.
Yeah, I mean, if it's dusty, somebody rear-ends them, or they have an accident, it just, and again, like I said, good intentions. The manure issue is something that he's responsible for. If he isn't, then he's his permit, if you would approve it, he can come in. So that'd be the only difference I'd make on that. And I think you guys have identified that if it becomes an issue, you have to deal with it. But that's that's something you go through when we have construction out on our highway or our roads or the township roads. We have to address it with whether it's detours or repair.
And that road, there's conditions of that road, and there aren't any chicken barns up there. It's just because of the road, and there are wet areas out there and other things. But that's another whole thing.
And so, Mark, that road hasn't been just this spring when it was wet.
No.
As long as I've known that road, and that's been, yeah. You know, that I used it quite a bit. It's been at least the last 8 years. And that's not just because I know Gene Busboom. It's because I used to use that road for hauling fuel and for other things. So I've been up and down that road, and it's that road's been a problem for a long time. So, well, it definitely is not just this last year. The one thing that I've struggled with is the detrimental part, and obviously Lisa and the other people on P&Z have looked at that, and they recommended approval of this, and I've always been a very staunch believer in trusting the work that P&Z does, and I know this board has worked hard even after that recommendation's come, looking at, you know, is this good, is this bad, and I'll echo a lot of what John has said. I don't know that we're prepared today to vote on this, quite honestly, but. You know, I do have concerns that, you know, if I have X amount of neighbors and I'm sitting in a room full of them, I question myself as to if, is this a good place to do this. But, you know, for all the evidence that we've heard, it appears as though, like Matt said, within a quarter of a mile. Is this going to be a difficult decision? I'm struggling with it, I can tell you right now. But I do trust our P&Z and the work that they've done.
I'll echo Gary's comment, that, and I'm sure all of you are aware, this is a difficult decision. It's not one of these things that's just cut and dry and you vote one way or another. There are a lot of people involved with this. There are a lot of neighbors. There's just so many things with this permit that Roger even mentioned some of the others that we approved that I call are maybe a little bit different than them, although we did set precedent by approving those through our zoning process here or whatever. This is not an easy decision. I know since the last meeting, some of us I know are ready to vote, but I also do know that visiting with some of them on the board that there maybe is a need to have another 2 weeks. So I'll still entertain more discussion before ask for something.
Well, I do have one other thing. As far as this DEQ permit, Eric is right. It doesn't reflect the fact that they are free-range chickens and can be outside part of the time. You're right,
Eric.
I guess this question is for Lisa. How does this affect future barns? Because that was something, I don't remember if Bonnie said it or who brought it up. As you get, I remember seeing that in Oklahoma. I had family down there in the panhandle, and all of a sudden we went from the whole demographic of the towns changed. You know, you went from one barn to hundreds of barns out there. With this barn here and another barn there, if this would go, does that affect with our animal density units or however that works? Does that affect more barns coming in? Does that encourage more barns to come in? Does that discourage them because of other animals there already?
I guess the question is, if you're worried about a major operation like MBA, for instance, worrying about investing in future operations, I think they look at, you know, trying to find producers within a county that are willing to invest $250,000 per building to put it up, because they know that there's not many of them out there. But demographically, they're going to look at what's the easiest route to get to the packing plant. So, no, I don't think it's going to affect if we lose one up there, honestly, and another producer picks it up somewhere else, because you're investing. You still have to find those producers that are willing to make that investment.
I might have said it backwards. If this barn does go in, is it going to are we going to get that magnet effect where all of a sudden, I think I said that wrong.
Okay.
Will we see a, do you see that pulling more people in? What does our zoning do for that? So say this barn does go in.
You're referring to more people that are non-poultry, non-agriculture related?
No,
or no,
more
just
barns,
more barns,
poultry,
coming,
barns
in.
Coming in?
I don't think that an MBA is looking at a concentration between 10 miles or 15 miles. They're looking at where does it work, you know, in Gage County, and who can they find as a producer to actually invest into that. So they'll go wherever, you know. Most important part to them is that the producer that's committed to raising birds for them truly want to raise them the best way that they can, and demographically, you know, it makes sense close to a hard surface road, you know, for getting animals in and out and that sort of thing. So, but I don't think it's an issue. That's only my opinion, but I don't see that as an issue.
I would have to agree with that, but also the limiting factor a lot of times there is the cost of putting the buildings
right
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just,
yeah, they it there, takes, there's reasons why they maybe work, but then also that cost of putting that up, that's quite a commitment for some individual or maybe one or two or three people to make. There's a
it takes six buildings to pay out over a 7-year period of time. You can't make it on less than six buildings. Out, pencils out today with corn prices and so forth. So, and most of your lenders are looking at less than six buildings. So,
and this site just fits six buildings. There's no chance it's going to expand to 12.
I can't answer that as far as.
I think he's asking by our animal units and stuff.
Oh, you know, because with the setbacks and so forth,
right.
I don't. It won't support another four buildings for sure because of the setback requirements.
Okay.
You know, so. Because he'd have that would grow up into that next setback of 3/4 of a mile. So
because the very first permit he applied for was 6 plus another 6, and the zoning board took that as 12. I mean, not
that
the zoning
correct.
Board. That was what that needed to be mm-hmm. counted as 12, and those 12
didn't meet any
because
of our
setbacks and animal units did not fit in this location.
Yeah,
would not fit in this location. Would not be would not qualify under our county zoning setbacks.
I'm with John, I guess, on this, where I wouldn't mind waiting a couple of weeks. I feel bad for the people coming because this is a terrible hassle for all of you. But I would like to go look at a couple different facilities as well, I guess, myself, after hearing this, not only the ones north, but I keep intending to go to the ones to the east of us here. Western. And there's a couple of them that I have been around, but... The ones over to the east, the ones people are afraid of, I think, are probably over in that Tecumseh area. I'd like to go look around those a little bit more as well.
And I'll make this comment. I guess after our public hearing, my hope or my goal was, and I think this board, too, was that in 2 weeks we could come to a decision. But I guess I'll answer it this way a little bit. Through this process, it's probably raised some more questions. Or some more concerns, but some more things that this board needs answered. I know Monday when I visited with some of them and they thought they wanted to delay this a couple of weeks, my answer to them was, no, we're going to vote. I talked to Matt up there in the chicken barn. Matt says, no, we're going to vote. But after talking to Roy again after that last night, some of these other things, I don't know if this board has done enough due diligence, and because we don't have... In my mind, if we approve this, we need some qualifications on this permit because of the location. And we don't, this board does not have, I did not work hard enough on it or whatever you want to say. We don't have those qualifications so that this board would know what they're voting on. Because right now, I don't know either. I'm not prepared to vote on that permit. I don't think that permit is, the way it sits today with no qualifications on it, I don't think... I'd have a hard time voting for it in that location today. Even though I saw the barns up there, even though I produce cattle, I have livestock because of the location. But I think this permit, and after visiting with Roger, this board can put qualifications on there. And I think I'll just give my opinion only. We need to look at if there's qualifications that we can attach to this permit so that would make it work. I will say this also, I'm 100% behind the zoning board. I do appreciate their work. As some of them have said, if you vote for it, that's the one reason I'd vote for it, because of that. There are a lot of reasons to vote against it, a lot of reasons to vote for it. So, and I guess if the board feels that they really need to vote today, we sure can. I'd entertain a motion on that, but otherwise I'd sure entertain a motion on delaying 2 weeks.
I would move to delay the vote for 2 weeks.
But what's going to change in 2 weeks? Well,
we got a motion. Let's have a second on that. Right. You second it? Okay. Motion by Hill, second by Tiemann. Now, Terry, now we discuss it.
Okay. I mean, what's going to change in 2 weeks? I mean, it's out there. We've talked about it. We've looked at it. It's like beating a dead horse. We know what's there, basically. We know what's going to happen. I guess I don't see the sense in delaying it myself.
Really there, if you had, you know, some conditions that you want to say, can you see if you can come up with some language working with, you know, I'd certainly work with Lisa to see if there's something specific that's bothering you, you think would add to the application process, both respecting the concerns brought forward by the neighbors. We can do it. Specifically, I'm looking at the manure thing.
Yep.
And I know some people said that wasn't the only thing, but again, I mean, you're right from the standpoint of you got your guidelines. But if that's the case, and we have not done that specifically in a situation, that's all I'm saying.
I understand that, but yeah, it's going to be just as difficult in 2 weeks as it will be now.
It'll be a difficult decision, but the application can be complete, and my thought is the options for the bird disposal and the manure disposal needs to come from the applicant, not from the board. Hopefully there's more than one option for each one of them, and we can approve them or not approve them.
Is that something we can require prior to the meeting, and 2 weeks in to talk about a committee meetings in?
Procedure-wise, I mean, you can place any kind of condition on a permit, which you have done in the past if you feel comfortable. But as far as when you do it through discussion, that's up to you guys.
Okay. Eric, honestly, I don't know that the board should. I guess in this case, Roy was the one that brought it up, and he was the one that offered it up. And I think if it's going to be offered, he needs to offer it in his application. And if he doesn't, then it gets voted on the way it is.
Roger, is that procedurally, I mean, a thing we could maybe do? We could request of Roy qualifications, or can we as a board put qualifications on there irregardless of Roy?
Yeah, I mean, you can say we will approve this application if A and B.
Okay.
And now, again, you can go. Again, I can't sense where everybody's, you know, I'm just, like I said, reflecting what some of the comments were. The manure and the carcasses seem to be two things that at least are addressable without getting into, you're still going to have to make a policy decision based on your 7 guidelines. I mean, we can help it by saying these are two things, and based on what Mr. Mulder indicated, he's willing to, you know, work with that stuff and spell it out. Clarify it, I guess, is a better word for it. Terry's right. I don't. That's going to ease some things when it all gets down to it. And again, if you need some more time, that's up to you guys. I mean, seriously. I mean, it is because, I mean, the Schmidt property, I think there was 4 people there that testified that day. And that's just something, again, that I didn't send that stuff out, but I think it did go out later. That you gotta do your judicial act, and that's kind of what you're doing here. It's a quasi judicial thing, and so it's all balancing. But that's why the guidelines and P&Z are there to help you. So leave it at that. And I can do whatever you ask me. Well, I'm not going to say that. I will work with you and try to develop some language that may address some of your concerns. And I'll do that.
John,
how about if I amend my motion to? I move that we delay this vote for 2 weeks, at which time we'll consider an amended application that addresses the bird disposal and the manure disposal and an up-to-date DEQ letter.
I wouldn't do it. It's not an amended application or the process starts over.
Yeah, that's
right. No. It would basically be to review conditions, and you can have that the applicant is proposing.
Okay.
That way we don't, because otherwise we're going to start the whole.
Yeah, we're not starting the whole.
Well, I don't intend to.
No, no, I know you didn't. That's why I just.
Yeah.
The semantics of that. So basically, and again, if that's the board's decision, Mr. Mueller can either come up, we can talk, or if he's got counsel, we'll work through that. And again, as soon as we get something, I can, you know, send that out, let the board take a look at it. And if you want to tweak it, let me know.
John and Lisa said that the DQ, you can't get a letter back from them in 2 weeks.
Probably not.
So, okay. Now, one of us, or I can make an effort to visit with them and get a better understanding, but other than that, we can't get a letter back. Matt.
So if we put conditions in this that have to do with the operations of any type of animal facility, what surveying agency does the county employ to go do that?
Perfect. Yeah, perfect question, because there's not a good answer to it.
We're creating a standard that we can't follow through with. The onus is on Mr. Mueller and the DEQ and the supplier of the chickens, and who's going to go through and audit that. Now, again, what conditions can you put in there that would affect a problem that I didn't see yesterday? Now, the onus of how he has to run that's on him, and if for some reason he doesn't run that appropriately, there's a complaint to those agencies. But if someone gives a complaint to us because of pick an operational system, who are we going to send out there? The sheriff? I say that from a bureaucratic standpoint. We don't have a system in place to monitor livestock. We don't have the expertise. We don't have as we put conditions in, if that's a desire of the board to do that, if we put those conditions in there better be conditions that we have the wherewithal to follow up and do something about. Otherwise, they're not worth the paper they're written on.
Curious if devil's advocate then, say I'm a neighbor and I have a legitimate complaint. Say there's an odor problem there that's a significant odor problem. I call the county. What happens then?
It wouldn't be an odor problem. It would be I saw him out there dumping chicken manure on this field. Okay, I'm just going to find something that's concrete.
But he can do that now.
Well, but if you put a condition that he sells the manure, so it goes off of his farms and it goes elsewhere.
Okay, so then if we put qualifications, it is.
Well, Matt's making a good point. You got to have something that's measurable so that, you know, it can be seen he's not doing it. Then the only thing in response to you would be a cease and desist order.
Give him so many days warning. I mean, we don't have a odor or a measurable unit like that that we can scare people with on this one. It's. You're right, we do need something that's measurable that says you can't, if we're going to put it on there, it has to be something that's a...
Yeah, well, and that's, like I said, with the language situation, we have to come up with something that, number one, we can monitor, or if somebody in response to a complaint can monitor, whether it be the zoning administrator, maybe we give that to Galen, he's got everything else. or Davey, I see Davey over there, he does a good job with about everything.
He said he was looking for some other tasks.
What I'm saying is, you know, again, if it's a problem, we can identify it. Then either my office or the zoning administrator could send out a notice that says basically we got an issue. And I'd have to look on this before your next meet or before you take that up. I'm sure there's an opportunity for them to be heard also before you take that away. But at least you put them on notice and say, if you are putting this manure on your farms in contravention to the agreement or the conditions in the special use permit, your permit can be pulled.
And I should qualify that what we saw yesterday, the operation, he did not spread locally. That was removed. So he did haul that off. So the odor that didn't exist was probably because if he wasn't spreading that, then it wasn't there.
So that goes back to John's qualifications with the potential, what's happening with the composted birds and what happens with manure. I mean, if that's something we want to ask for, I would think that'd be an easy add-on. I don't know. Do you just call it a qualification, or what do you?
Condition.
A conditional.
Condition. Yeah, a condition of the special use permit.
Because those would be easy measurables.
More discussion, Matt?
Well, just because I know that probably that half of the room is not happy with what I'm saying. But what I will say is I did hear you, and I think that every one of your concerns is absolutely legitimate. I think that the dust and the sound and the smell and the effect, I think those concerns are legitimate. I'm just saying what I saw yesterday didn't support those concerns. I'm not saying that their concerns aren't valid. I'm not saying that if for some reason Mr. Mulder would decide to run a horrible operation, I'm just saying that, and I got a whole list of when everybody came up here a couple weeks ago and talked in that evening, I wrote everything down and I went through those. I just didn't see those yesterday. So that's where I'm coming from, is that if he's going to run an operation very similar to what I saw yesterday, and again, I had the manure and the carcasses on one side and then the fan blowing in my face on the other and one fly on Myron's collar, and I'm not trying to be coy, I'm just saying I just didn't see those things. So, but they're legitimate concerns, because...
And it's only 6 months old.
But they're, well, I'm,
hold on, oh, no.
I'm expressing to what I saw yesterday based on your concern, because I absolutely went there expecting to be able to say, check too many flies, check smell, check too
and
noisy.
And Matt's not saying this to make anybody unhappy or anything, okay? I mean, we've heard everybody's thoughts and concerns, and they are very important. But we also have to make a decision as a board, and some of these things we look at and we go yes, no, or whatever. This isn't easy for our board, and we're not here to make anybody unhappy. Trust me, we're not. But we also have to do our diligence. I call it our due diligence as a board, and make sure we try and make the right decision for this board and this county. And if that takes another 2 weeks, if that takes Eric wanting to go look at it or not, I'm fine with whatever this board makes the decision. I mean, if we wanted to vote on today, that'd be fine too. The only problem with not voting on it today, it just puts pressure on everybody else for 2 weeks, and that's unfortunate. Okay. But also, just because we would pass this one or not pass this one, I mean, that don't mean that 5 years down the road, there's not going to be another issue, or this board won't have to deal with another zoning issue. So I think it's more important that this board feels comfortable that they made the right decision than we hurry through this process. That's my opinion, though, too. Are there any more comments or discussion? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and vote on the motion in front of us, is that we're going to... what did you have?
2 weeks before vote to possibly place conditions on the... Well, I have permit, but it would be on the resolution.
On the resolution.
Special use.
And yesterday, let's vote on this, but I will vote in favor of waiting a couple weeks, because I think that it's important that you go out and see for yourself and feel comfortable. Because, again, I went there one way, and I left feeling a lot different. But it's modern farming practices in a modern livestock facility, which is completely contrary to what I had in my head. So, but I'll vote for waiting if people need more time.
Any more discussion, or we're going to vote on the motion? Vote. 5 in favor of the motion to wait 2 weeks. Hill. Oh, hold it. Oh, say, never mind.
No.
Which way? That's what you want. Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann in favor of the motion. Juergens against. 5-1. The vote was for that. And we thank you guys for all coming. We will have it on the agenda for the next meeting. We will try and put it on there again for a timed one. We're going to wait a little bit longer to put the time on this time. By Tuesday morning at 8:30, it will be. Our agenda is final, and it's on the website. And if not, call or something. Our meeting will be Wednesday the 6th. By Tuesday morning at 8:30, the agenda is set. Okay. That's the 5th of July. A little bit after that before it gets on the website, but. Yeah. No, we're going to take a break. Yeah.
Bauman's about
to. I thank you, everybody, for coming.
I'm a contact up in my eye.
We're are taking, at 10:30 on the clock, we're taking at least a 5-minute break.
You went on?
Yes.
Ready to go on? Okay, on.
We are back in session at 10:41 on the clock. We will go back up, and we have to do committee reports next. That's the next thing on the agenda before the timed events. Buildings and ground, winter lights. And I think Dave's here for some things there.
Yeah, bring some winter lights. I want some cooler temperatures. I vote for winter lights.
It'll be here before we know it. Good morning. I did bring to the Building and Grounds Committee, we had been talking about remodeling the men's and women's restrooms on second floor, and I did come up with quite a few prices. I actually did purchase some things on this last year's budget, and would like to continue with this on this year's budget. What this includes is a heat pump that would supply the men's and women's room, and it would be duct worked in. What we have trouble with now is the console units are recycling the same air in the restroom, so we would like to change that. Put in some new urinals and toilets where needed, new partitions, countertops with the labs with the countertop built in, new tile and for the walls and the floors, new exhaust fans, a drop ceiling, and to modify the door opening. It will not be officially a handicap restroom, but we did check with the city on that, and they are okay since we do have a handicap restroom downstairs and up on fourth floor, so we can make it as accessible as possible, though, to create larger openings. And this money is coming out of courthouse improvements. So far we've spent $13,844, and to finish it up, I don't know for sure. It looks like somewhere around $21,000 yet, but I do have help from inmates and stuff. If we can help remove the old tile out of the restrooms, we'll be glad to do that. That would save a lot of money there. So then, go ahead.
You think you have some kind of timeline, or have you narrowed it down with some of the others yet on maybe when you're going to do it? Or
no, actually. If the tile workers had their way, they'd lean more towards fall time, actually. Okay. So I have an issue right now with I'm scheduling a knee surgery later on this summer, so I've been taking that into consideration also. So I don't think the project itself will be a long one. It'll be kind of disruptive for a little while, but I think it'll go quick. So.
And this isn't all the restrooms on the courthouse. It's just this floor, so there will be others that will be available or that are open.
And the other thing we talked about, Greg Dennis with Masonry Construction, he gave us a proposal for two bids on repairing the stone. He gave us a bid for this southwest corner area, and then also for the west side. And I did ask for him to come down for our next Building and Grounds Committee meeting and discuss this. And when I talked to him, he said, you know, he could either do one phase or both phases, but he would need to know soon so he can get that scheduled into his projects. So,
did everybody hear what the estimates were? Were you still okay? Just give what. Basically, the west side, the south end, and the west side, the north end. And
right. It would be, yes, the southwest corner. I do not have that information right in front of me.
They were
but
both
40,
in the 40,000 range,
yes.
42 and maybe 46.
Right.
The two together were pretty close to 88,000 if we decided to have him do the whole side. That's just so you're aware of, so that maybe at our next meeting, if he comes to committee meeting, maybe at our next meeting we can have discussion on that and decide or maybe budget, I guess.
Well, what did that one cost? This side here. What was that?
38.
It was right around 40.
I think the initial in the master plan that we had Bergeron put together in that book, they were talking $1 million to kind of redo it. So this is probably, you know, if it's 80,000 for that side of the building,
80 to 90.
That's a better that's a better cost. I don't say it's cheap.
Right,
it's $80,000, but it's cheaper than $1 million.
You don't have an architectural fee on it.
Or an attorney's fee.
I don't get up on scaffolding.
I'll hang you out the window. You're up.
Yeah. You are going to hang out the window, yeah. The inmates can run the rope.
But that's better. Yeah. So,
it is. Yeah. If we can just take it a piece at a time and keep working around it. And he was thinking each phase is about a month's worth of work. So if we did do both phases, we're talking 2 months' worth of work. So it is, unfortunately, you know, around the chimney area and where that downspout was, that is going to take quite a bit of time. And
There's some areas on that side that are getting in a lot of need. I'll just say that. If you go and look at it,
And then when it gets to the north side, this side is very good, actually. That won't be very costly. The main chimney up on the roof will be, though, when they do that. And that's this proposal actually includes one chimney on the south side. And then those chimneys are, that's quite a bit of work, just the chimney alone, so.
Any more questions for Dave? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And hopefully your Buildings and Ground Chairman guy will be back at the next meeting. I think it's good chance. Equalization, nothing. Finance.
Just the one claim that I think everyone was here we talked about were some 2-year-old attorney fees claims that come as a public defender, and we talked Roger, if you want to speak a little bit about that, because they're 2-year-old claims, and we're not trying to set precedents. It's just that sometimes those claims take a while to come in, and we visit a little bit of it.
Basically, in talking with the judges, the claim process that the board is concerned about is that basically when a claim's submitted, you got it must be submitted within 90 days of it occurring. And the interpretation that we finally received was that once a court approves it, then you have 90 days to pay it, to be okay with the auditor, state auditor, and that stuff. Prior to that, and the judges are going to let the various attorneys know, they need to timely submit their application for fees, and so that it can properly be considered when the work's done, but also so that you keep a budget idea of what attorney fees are costing you outside of the public defender's office. So even though it kind of got a little convoluted there, I think it was a good process because, like, sometimes things just get a little loose. And I think through this, Don, I know, talked with the court, and I think they're going to tighten some things up and give her a little more information so she can present it to you folks to take a look at, which that's what it's all about.
The other big claim you'll see out there was for the truck, 160-some thousand. Terry's last sandbox Tonka truck. No more purchases for Terry, but we're going to expense that in this fiscal year. We did order it. It's just a delay in delivery, but we're not going to pay it out until we actually take delivery. But we'll expense it in this, so we'll show
the truck is actually in. It's getting fitted right now with the equipment.
Oh, okay. So we're just running out of time in the fiscal year. It's
right. I was just going to run through a few. You done that?
Yes, sir.
Just a few of the high ones because it was a big expenses. Electric system, $60,000 for the ballot scanner. Attorney fees, I see one for $13,000, another one for $16,000, and another one for $22,000. Rock and gravel, Beatrice Concrete, $63,000. Asphalt, $16,000. The Mack truck, $167,000, some change. Rock on Township gravel, $15,000. North Public Power, $17,500 for moving their lines.
That was on Hickory Road, correct?
Yes. Insurance fund, $41,000. Inheritance fund, $435,919. That was for armor coating, was completed. And City Beatrice, 9/11 quarterly, $37,000. So I just picked out of the few of the high-dollared ones.
That out of inheritance fund, that was included in the total of the claims.
Right.
Right, because that was what was used to pay for our armor coating.
Yep. And this was the last claim submission of the fiscal year. And
yes.
So.
And while we're on that, Myron, that armor coating ended up costing us $11,171.69 a mile, per mile. So,
a lot of maintenance for that, isn't it?
being we're talking about this, can we back up Myron and Galen has a recommendation on those two culvert projects and do that now in case he has something he has to do? Or?
Well, yeah. Can't. I mean, we can because we had it was a timed event earlier and we need to delay it so we can insert him wherever we are.
Yep.
I'm just looking to see if Galen, if we needed him for...
He's
going to be here till the end anyway. Yeah.
Oh, he is? Okay, then. We can do it later.
Do you need to leave Supervisor Juergens?
Yeah, I always got something to
do. Yeah, we have a resolution about the highway bond funds.
Maggie, cop.
Yeah.
No. It's his resolution here on this agreement with the Department of Roads.
We've got a few more things here. Because the cracks are critical stuff.
So okay.
Let's finish committee report first.
And then go for it.
Then we'll have him.
Okay.
Anything else? Don said you had something for insurance here.
I did talk to Nirma here. When we get each year, I have to complete paperwork for our insurance. And they had a form in there for cyber coverage. And at that time when I received it, I didn't have the information that each county is covered at $1 million. So when I had sent mine back, I asked for a quote so I could present it to you guys. Well, then he told me that each county gets $1 million. In excess of that $1 million, if we want to have a total of $2 million, it would be a additional $1,387. He's quoted for other counties $4 million in excess of the $1 million, so it would be a total of $5 million. That would be an additional $4,348. Does anyone feel that we need to have more than $1 million coverage on cyber? I think that's an unknown territory. I don't think we know what it's going to cost us, but if we want to go $2 million, it would be another almost $1,400. So I need to let them know the broker.
This is insurance for what?
For cybersecurity, so if they hack into our system and do damage...
And get a bunch of names or information and stuff like that.
Whatever that entails.
I don't know how that gets all...
And we're covered for $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
How many people in the clerk's office are surfing the internet? How many people are doing that?
That's
probably as many in your job,
Matt. Million of coverage.
Okay, so that's... I just need consensus.
Do you know what exactly it covers?
Yeah. I do not know that.
I mean, like,
I don't know what cybersecurity is.
One of the things, we have direct deposit of our checks. So I assume there's checking, or we do have some banking information. I mean, if it's just your birth date, that's one thing, but
there's
you got
a lot
social
of
security numbers, birth dates, names, and everybody's got to have an account, right? Now, I'm not questioning the $1 million. Sounds like a lot for that, because basically, I don't know.
Well, I think the biggest, what you hear about is ransomware. And so I think since we're a public body, if we have a $2 million policy and we get hit for ransomware, what do you think the ransom will be for?
$3 million.
But I think that the ransomware is probably the biggest thing they're going to hold us up for if that happens. I mean, that happens domestically and in some businesses. And
I just told them I would bring it forward. So it's, you know, if we want to go this year and then find out a little more information, that we're just going to keep it at this, and then we, you know, get a little more information. Because I think this is new to everybody. I mean, this is a game we've not played in before.
I just think it's a wasted $1,400. That's my opinion.
I'll agree.
I'm not into that stuff.
What do you spend on that dump truck?
You're going to get something back for that, Bauman. You're going to get a lock on your road.
Steve McGill will like it. The chrome was $1,400 around that front bumper. So.
Okay, I just brought that to your attention. So,
yep. Human resource, employee relations, law enforcement, emergency management.
On Monday morning, we discussed this parking issue out at Zion Lutheran Church, and I think it's important, and I'd like Gustus to say something too here, but I think it's important to state that it is not a good idea to park your vehicle in a county road space that is being used for road. And I think it's important out at Zion Lutheran that maybe the sheriff states kind of what we expect out there, and I think it's very important for public safety.
For safety.
Yes.
Well, this has come to my attention because we towed the vehicle and the person called and was not happy with us. But
I met with Myron out there and Dale Zimmerman. He was the president or chairman of the city or the church board right now. And then I met a few days beforehand with Galen. As you all know, it's coming scenario. The church sits right at the intersection. I think everything's blacktopped right around there. And it's happened in years past. Myron knows that. People just park how they want. But there's really no room to park on the east side of the church without being, if you're parking the correct way, without being in the traffic lane. This car was probably 6.5 to 7 foot in the traffic lane. And so we'd met on that and discussed that. Myron's suggested maybe we get the chance to do some freshening up on the paint stripes so you can see it better. The church pictures were in your packets I gave out on Monday. The old days, you get by with that. Nowadays, you can't. And if they'd send me come around that corner, it was a Saturday morning, and that was a weekend. We had semi more days, I believe, and pickerel days, and slam into it. And we know about it, then we're liable, so the county. And so I'm trying to cover all the bases so we don't get ourselves sued. Matt had an excellent idea at some point. Of course, it's time money again, is just move the road just a little bit to the east side of the old school there and have the intersection further to the north and east was an excellent idea, but that's time and money. But Dale said he would put in a bulletin, try to do it on a regular basis. They have it set up now. They're supposed to, but apparently follows it. Is if it's an event going on after it's over, you're supposed to park to the east. They've got a big parking lot east of the church here. It's all paved, but obviously they're not doing it. And it didn't help. The car I towed was a groom's for the wedding, so that didn't set well. But it is something we need to address, and I think whatever the board decides to do on that, Jurgen, that's his thing, road and bridges. But
yeah, we did have a discussion too in our road and bridge, and because of the fact that that road right now hopefully will be scheduled to be armor coated next year, decided not to spend the roughly $900 to repaint that kind of 1 mile around there and wait till after armor coating. So
what did they decide on the signs? What again? Think about that. Well, we got looking there because they have far more attend church than I thought on Sundays. They have 200, 300, 400, 500. There's nothing on either side, east and west, on that road, and we got thinking maybe at least should be something there saying, hey, some kind of event or beware of traffic or pedestrians.
Church,
something.
Is there church ahead signs or anything? I mean, or.
Church ahead signs left.
Beware
church.
Beware church.
Well, that problem's in people will be stopping and praying, right?
Slow down, save your life, and your soul. Believe in God.
I shouldn't say church ahead. What you know what I mean? There are I call them intersection signs and T intersection signs and stuff. And I know one from the west. I remember that it was a slow down, a speed limit. Down two on there, but
well, even children playing or something like that.
Just
that gives you a slowdown.
Local traffic only, and then they'll know what's coming anyway.
Well, as long as we don't forget about next time.
Maybe visit with Minnelli's office or something, or look into that. I guess
I want you to ask Mark about the church ahead signs.
Yeah, church ahead. Well, they have school ahead signs, so. School bus stop ahead, I guess it is always.
They're going there for sinners only, but I don't think that'll work either. So,
yeah, but if they towed somebody from church, that's just wrong.
Well,
they're there. What do you have against the church?
I was Lutheran too. I'm sorry. It's too much liability for the county anymore.
Sunday morning too.
Early Sunday morning.
He wanted to get a jump on the service.
And I will say the deputy went beyond because they had the wedding there and reception out of county. He tracked them down where they're at. And asked them about coming in to move it, but they didn't want to come there drinking. So we waited till early morning and told it by then we had to get it out of there. So we tried anyway. So put that in your calendar, keep track of that.
Tow bill might have been very cheap.
Yeah, very cheap. Next to a lawsuit.
DUI.
Yeah, very much. Okay.
Thank you, yes. Road and bridge.
I'll be brief. talked about GIS, a workshop two or three times now. Culvert bids we did, talked about that. Start paint striping Wednesday. Had discussion about 34 more miles this fall of armor coating. Mack trucks in, we talked about that too. That's it.
But we, there was a little bit on there about Hickory Road, and just gave it to make a few comments what they're where they're at on Hickory Road, I guess. So everybody's kind of a, yeah.
Last Friday on Hickory Road, the box culvert to right there in the first mile, they had tore out the little bridge. They did pour the floor in that box culvert. They've been doing a lot of grading from the river bridge west to the railroad tracks. Also, they've been doing quite a bit of grading in the first 2 miles, getting their grade preparation up to where it needs to be. In the coming weeks, they'll be putting the culverts underneath the road that have to be put in. They'll finish their grade, and the plans now are to possibly mobilize some grade stabilization equipment to get ready to start laying some final grade down. So that's kind of the long-term plans within the next 2 weeks. So.
Galen, any update on the lack of progress of getting the railroad to communicate with the county in regards to the crossing?
No, I haven't heard anything on the railroad crossing.
And you've been in contact with them for how long?
Well, I haven't contacted them for a long time now. Approximately 3 to 4 weeks ago, I know that Matt Banning with the Manili Wagners had got with NDOR, the railroad people there, and voiced their concern, you know, that we've been working on this for 2 years or longer with the railroad people, and we can't get no progress made.
And Manili Wagner's office has been in contact with them throughout this process, right?
Or yes. Yes. Several times. So.
Anything else for committee? If not, let's go ahead and have a motion and give Gav Galen a report on the culvert bid, the project bids, and let's go ahead and wrap that up.
On the culvert bids, I'd recommend awarding both projects to Midwest Sales and Service Company. They were low bid on both culvert projects. Project 1077, the bid was $27,769.36. And on Project 1079, the bid was $28,925.12.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jurgen, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Roads for consultant inspection and load re-rating on county fracture critical bridges. Project number STP-NBIS-106, control number -00953.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Jurgens. Galen, go ahead and let us explain that, I guess.
Okay, this is an agreement where certain bridges in the county are designated as being eligible for surface transportation funds from the Federal Highway Administration. The federal pay 80% and the county pays 20% of the cost for the fracture critical inspections. The total cost, and at this time there's just two fracture critical bridges on the list. Total costs, they're estimated at $1,363.57. The county's 20% share of that cost is $272.72, which the county share will be paid out of the soft match funds that it has in account with the NDOR.
Any other questions? If not, we have a motion to approve. Second, vote 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove resolution signing of the project program agreement 2016 fracture critical bridge inspection. I think this is
now
a resolution.
Now we're 16-10.
16-10.
To approve signing.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Jurgens. Have a little talk on that too, Galen.
Yeah. This is an agreement with NDOR on behalf of the county to obtain federal funds for the fracture critical bridge inspection and load re-rating services for the federal aid project. Gage County is committed to providing the local funds for the project as required by both the project program agreement. So that's what this is for.
Questions? Vote. 6-0 in favor. And I didn't. Well, if you want to stay a little bit, we're going to have the GIS discussion now. Right? Yeah. For the highway department and stuff. So I guess, and I believe said somebody was going to be here for discuss and approve or disapprove GIS workshop program for a highway department and other offices. And Jeannie Andrews, when she was here, she did pass out. Everybody should have had in front of them. Janelle, yeah. If you want to come up and talk a little bit and say who you are.
Good morning. I am Janelle Bartels. I'm the COO at GIS Workshop. Unfortunately, Jeannie had a prior engagement, so she couldn't be here today. But I believe she's come a few times and discussed this with you all. Now, we have provided you with a proposal for the development of an emergency management roads and clerk tab on the existing assessor's website. I'm happy to address any questions or concerns or, you know, entertain any discussion on this project. I believe she's gone over enough with you that you probably don't need me to demo it or anything like that. So I don't want to waste your time, but I am happy to answer any questions that anybody may have.
You've done a great job.
Good.
Explaining it.
Yeah, she has.
Good. That's good to hear.
Okay. Any more questions from the board, or
do you need a motion to approve?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give them?
Yeah.
Which
Gary,
ones are you doing?
I guess.
I don't disagree with moving. I mean, if everybody wants to move forward with doing all of it and spending the $17,000 setup cost and the $600 annual subscription more, I just question whether we'll have, I mean, in the long run, if something happened, it would be valuable. I just concerned that some of these offices, it ain't going to get used.
I think it's going to be valuable down at superintendent's office, roads department. Simply, we discussed it before, you know, to get this information, these details down on paper so they can be passed on to the next person in charge, which that's the only thing I think it's. And Galen, I talked to him about it, and he said, "Yeah, it would fit him well. So if it fits him, it'll be good."
Not questioning that office. Yeah.
We could add the emergency management tab later.
Yes, you can add the emergency management tab. The reason that we wrapped up this 3-in-1 here for you is because our company gives a 25% discount on maintenance when you get 4 tabs. So that's why we went with the 3 additional tabs, which would be a total of 4, because then the cost of each of those is reduced 25% on the annual maintenance, so that you'll see year after year after year, and the assessor's the money that you pay for the assessor will also be reduced 25%. So, you know, there is a lot of value to the emergency management tab. It has specific tools that are not available on the other tabs, some damage assessment type tools, addressing tools, things like that that are specific to emergency management /sheriff. You can always add those at a later time, but the primary reason we gave you the 3 was because of that discount.
So can we negotiate a 20% discount for 3 tabs as opposed to a 25% discount for 4 tabs?
I'm the COO. I'm not allowed to negotiate price. There's only one person above me. But
is it negotiable, though? I mean,
it is not, no.
It's not, no. Well, you don't know if you don't ask.
It's a good question, but that's our standard, and it's new. Previous to that, we actually never reduced our costs.
By adding emergency management, we'd have more startup costs, but our annual fee would be basically the same.
$600 a year.
$600, yep.
Take you 10 years.
We'd have it.
That's $50 a month.
Yep.
Not very much in our budget. I think my point's been made.
Yep.
I have no problem with moving forward doing all of it.
And I think that'd probably be the best thing. Maybe that'd be the most valuable one at some point in time. Hopefully it isn't, but we don't need it.
I'll make a motion to approve the GIS workshop additional tabs, the roads department, emergency manager, management department, clerk tab, for a setup cost of $17,180, then the annual subscription with a 25% cost reduction in the amount of $11,693. And then all of these fund or the amounts will show in each department's budget in the years moving forward. So the clerk's office won't have to carry the whole bucket.
Oh, wait a minute.
Additions to their budget or fit into their budget?
It'll be in their budget as we put it together.
I'll second that motion.
A motion by Bauman and a second by Lytle. More discussion? Vote. 6-0. Oh. 5 in favor. Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle in favor, and now Tiemann's in favor too. 6 in favor. 6-0 in favor. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have a copy of that contract? She probably provided it to you. I can.
I have some
Dawn
here,
probably
but
has
if you
them.
Have,
this you is have a copy.
I do have a copy.
Yes.
Because I've got lots and lots of them.
The statement of work and then the contract.
That you need signed.
There's a signature page on both.
Wow, Johnny on the spot. We got it, huh?
What I'm here for.
She pays the bills.
Okay, the only thing I would ask is if you would use my office so that they can make a copy.
Jeez, that one you have is so short. This one's nice.
Well, you dog.
I got to be a Lincoln dude.
I got to be a Johnny Rolling at 10.
It was so low.
I was talking to who about leaving early?
I thought we'd be done. You keep asking questions.
You didn't think we'd be done before noon with that other deal.
He needs a new floor.
I'm talking to who
about leaving
early.
Okay. Right across the hall. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Another tree, by the way.
I know.
Thank you, Galen. I think you're looking at it. You're probably done. Next up, approve or disapprove juvenile services grant award and special conditions form and authorize chairman to sign both.
Christina couldn't be here.
Yeah, and basically what this is, you guys had previously approved some additional monies became available. You accepted those and they put them in their budget. And this is basically just authorizes the additional funds to be spent as you've already approved. So basically you've already made the decision. This is just formal documents.
Uh-oh.
You're stuck, Jurgens.
You're stuck now.
That's why I said that.
Move along, Myron. Let's go.
You can make a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve.
Wait a second. What are you? Okay. What are you wanting to approve?
This grant award, special conditions.
Authorized signature. Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann. Vote.
Oh wait a minute. We got Lytle and Tiemann now.
Oh. Okay. 5-0 in favor with Bauman now having left.
Is that approved by chairman, by the way? Did you approve that?
He came over and told me you had another meeting. So. And I said, I just told him, you're lucky you got out here before Jurgens did. So.
I gave you a note that said I believe
I have this on twice, so we can skip this one.
I said you had it on twice.
Okay. That's what happens.
The next one we're skipping because the next one, just admitted to it that she put it on there twice.
I didn't realize I did.
She covered it.
When I read the agenda at home, I go, put it on twice.
That's when you're supposed to call it.
Let's disapprove his paper of thoughts.
Which happens. So, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove park and recreational improvement grant application submitted by Pickerel Village Board in the amount of $1,000.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Jurgens, seconded by Lytle. And this is for their park. This is that $1,000. And basically what we're doing is we accept grants most of the year. If there's money in our budget to approve these, that's what we're doing. And that's we're in this claim period, we're paying this out. This is supposed to be every year, our budget-wise yearly program we offer. We've had a few people take care of
it.
Is Pickerel the only one using this?
No,
there's been others in the past.
Yeah.
This year, though, they're the only one.
I don't know if that was yours.
Well, this is mine. Oh, I don't know where that came from.
Reading their application, I seen where it was for flagpoles and lighting for the Memorial Park in Pickerel, and I think this is that project is exactly what this was kind of. I mean, it was set up to, Matt's original idea was to do help with playground equipment and this type of thing in order to make communities look better. It was a betterment type deal.
The reason for it is the betterment of the parks in some of our local communities, and
this fits perfectly in my opinion.
I'm thinking we've had four, maybe five. I thought this was the second time maybe Pickerel's done it. I'm not sure anymore. Yeah. I don't remember, but it's. I do know that some of them, they've talked about it. When Pickerel had their article, they mentioned the fact that they got it and that it helped improve their parks, which is great for the communities. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove resolution to close the Highway Bond Fund and direct County Treasurer to transfer all monies in Highway Bond Fund as of June 22nd, 2016, to the General Fund and all future collections for Highway Bond Fund.
Which there won't be any future collections because there's not tax, but that's part of the resolution. Housekeeping cleanup that I can close that fund out.
This is not the one
it's
that we approved.
It's the one that we did that used the highway allocation money for, and we paid off early. I just have to close it out so I don't have to carry it when I publish.
This was a 2007 bond, I believe.
That money will go to...
Like that.
2009. Okay, 2009.
Early payoff then? Whatever money would be there?
There is no money left in it. It's done. Yes. It's just a formality. If something would get put in there, she has authority to move it. But we didn't put a levy on, so there shouldn't be any tax dollars.
No, there was no levy by the county on this. This was we designated a portion of the highway gas tax allocation towards paying this. No, we didn't. This was quite a while ago and stuff. So, but that... based on the payments, it's paid off and everything. And this is more than anything a thing that we need to do to close that account.
Make a motion to approve.
On the budget.
No. Second.
Motion by Jergen, second by Lytle. Vote 5-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove having chairman sign general status inquiry from Universal Surety Company on Constructors, Inc.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jergen, second by Tiemann. Explain this one here just a little bit, Don, because this is...
I don't know really what Rogers...
this is basically,
I get those from the insurance company.
This is basically a bond, releasing a bond that we had for our road construction. As you recall, we got that resolved. And basically the bond company was sitting there asked to hold the funds until it's released. And... I don't know. Well, I'll just leave it at that. It, you know, basically, I think we've got, August?
It is in August, I think.
Yeah, that's covered by the, that is covered by their, by the warranty work warranty situation. Work, yes. And I forgot to ask Galen today. I know I'd asked him a little while back that we haven't, at least I'm not aware of anything.
Well, there are still some issues.
But they're coming. I mean,
well,
I said just notify them and get it,
Right. And this inquiry releases them from their bond, or?
Yeah, basically it releases the bond.
Okay.
Not them from the bond. It releases the bond.
And why would we want to do that before the warranty work is up?
Well, again,
because we have an agreement with them for the warranty work, okay?
Right.
And basically this bond, Roger can read it, but it says third request, but this bond is releasing the fact
and again,
the requirements of that bond when we did the road.
And I mean, that's up to you. I mean, we can basically say, hey, the warranty work continues, but the contract, if you will, has been completed. The contract's been complete. Okay. And so even though there's a warranty out there, the warranty doesn't continue the bonding company. Okay. I guess is what I'm saying. Just because we have a warranty.
I'm guessing, John, I purely guess, Roger might know better. I'm guessing they paid something for it, and there's money sitting out there that maybe they can get, not from us, but that they can get back.
It's similar to any type of insurance fund. If you have to have so much money in a holding pattern, if you will, it's like bank deposits, that type of situation. So it's just a cleanup. Somebody says, we're done with this.
But I guess what I'm questioning is, why we're going to release it before our warranty date is up?
Again, as all we're verifying is the contract is done, and the work is completed. And that's what
completed, but there is still some issues.
You know, their warranty work is not going to be covered by that bond. The bond is a performance bond to do the contract. Now, if we have workmanship issues, then we'll go back on them.
The bond never covered any workmanship issues?
Well, it's a performance bond. Basically, right. If Constructors Inc. bailed on us before they finished the roads,
and it's complete,
then Universal comes in and says, we'll find somebody else to do it, or we'll get it done. Okay,
right.
Not they don't do warranty work.
But there is a section of blacktop that's got a crackdown.
I'm not faulting that. That's why we put that. We've got an ongoing agreement with them, and that's. And again, I'll touch base with Galen on that. Or have you talked? Well, I know you got something. I'll touch base with Galen. Make sure we've got formal notification of that crack. And I think that's been there for a while, hasn't it? That one you're talking about?
There's photos down the highway department, yes.
Right. And all those.
And I've looked at them.
Okay. All those, because those were forwarded even before I did that agreement.
Right.
Up to them. And then I went ahead and Matt Manning sent them back to me so I could forward them to their attorney. So they've got double coverage on that one.
But is this bond not in place to protect us from that?
It's like I said, performance to do the contract. It's not a warranty. It's not a warranty bond, and a lot of people think it is, and it's not. If you turn around and sued the warranty or the bond company on that, you basically have two attorneys beating you up.
Eric, you do.
I was going to say, I know what you're saying. As a rule, what they do is what they did was Constructors paid for and then billed us for percent on $4 million. They got just a flat fee for that, so they paid it. Now the bonding company's on the hook. At the end of a project, usually even with warranty work left, as soon as the work's done, like most stuff will have a year warranty after you do it. After your construction's done, you release the bonding company, and then it's back to the contractor. There is no protection. We just have to have faith that they're going to honor their word on that, but that's really not what the bond is for. I know what you're saying. It seems like an odd order of things. Like when they want you to sign a lien waiver before you've received payment, there's some of that stuff that doesn't seem to cross at the right time. But just general rule of thumb after the
well, usually there we'd be closer in time. Right. I mean, the engineer would verify, you know, that it's done. We accept it. We sign off on it. The bill comes or through a claim process with Don. And the bonding company's right there to say, we understand you're all done. This one extended out a little further. I mean, if you want, I can call them up and say, look, you get it in August.
But there's nothing that says you can't do that. They're not going to get charged more for it.
Well, they're not.
No. Okay. What they'll the negative to them is they have X number of dollars bonding capacity. Okay. I'm guessing that's not a problem for them.
Universal, I would doubt it. I think it's
well, just, I mean, for constructors
well,
themselves.
Universal is owned by the.
You think they have good financing?
I don't think they have a problem getting a bond, but I think somebody's just doing their house cleaning. It was sitting there, and again, any warranty work we'd have would be, and again, it's important to us, but. In the scope of things, it's not a big one. So I don't. That's why when Don asked me about it, I said I don't have a problem.
I'd put a lot more faith or lack of faith in the agreement. I mean, faith in the agreement we have with them concerning the warranty work than this here thing here being the important part of it. Because we do have a written agreement with them,
and it would be much easier to enforce that than it would be to go through a claim process with the Universal. Because they're going to refer them back to your constructors. Excuse me.
Yes, but we need to go back in and assign a resolution number to that highway resolution. We flew by that one. You just have to note that it's 16-11.
Run that by me again here.
Let's finish this one.
Okay, we're going to finish this one first.
I have Juergens.
I need a motion to approve.
Juergens and Thiemann.
Oh, we had a motion by Juergens, second by Thiemann. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Now we need to go back and have a cleanup.
On the highway resolution bond, the resolution number is 16-11. We didn't get a number assigned to that one.
On the one previous that we approved, disapproved resolution to close the highway bond fund, that is resolution number 10, or 16-11.
Yes. Okay. Now we're caught up.
Now, anybody have anything else? If not, we have a closed session on here.
Roger, do we need to have the first and second, that resolution number, do we need to do anything?
Yeah.
You just noticed. since it is a resolution, why don't you just vote to reaffirm the prior motion with that resolution number added.
We had a motion by, who was that by?
Jurgens, second by Lytle.
By Jurgens, second by Lytle for the above-mentioned thing, approve or disapprove resolution, and it's now, we're adding resolution number 16-11 to close the highway bond fund and direct county treasurer to transfer all monies in the highway bond fund as of June 22nd, 2016 to the general fund and all future collections for highway bond fund.
Okay, so we're reaffirming the motion to add the resolution number of 16.
Reaffirming, and we're going to vote on it again, yes.
Okay. Ready?
Vote. 5-0 in favor.
Jurgens is remote.
I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session at 11:27 on the clock for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 5-0 in favor of going in closed session. Oh, we need to come out. Yeah.
Okay.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 11:40.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 5-0 in favor.
I told
Rogers.
Way I says it's contact.
Look at you. You got some starting blocks over there, too. You're
on that contract.
Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned, 11:41.
Have a good day.